Today we had the unique opportunity to visit the former illegal Israeli settlements that had been occupying the Gaza Strip for over 38 years, close to 40 years. The Gaza Strip, as many of our listeners know, is one of the most densely populated areas on the planet, on the face of the earth. About 1.5 million Palestinians live in the Gaza Strip, and previous to the leaving of these illegal Israeli settlers a couple of months ago, about 45% of the Gaza Strip was controlled and maintained by 8,000 Israeli settlers, most of whom are American citizens. These illegal settlers, who have been there against international law, had occupied some of the most fertile land in the Gaza Strip and most of the water aquifers. These have been closed military zones for close to 40 years, so nobody has been able to go in there and see exactly the nature of these illegal settlements other than the illegal Israeli settlers. So with the Gaza disengagement plan and the removal of these settlers from stolen Palestinian land, for the first time in these 40 years, Palestinians and other internationals have been able to actually see what this land has been about. Of course, it's important to keep in the context that 8,000 settlers occupying 45% of the Gaza Strip is truly remarkable, that these settlements also serve the purpose of being military outposts. So when the Israelis wish to attack or get involved in subjugating Palestinians even more, or torturing Palestinians, they would be placed, they would come from these settlement areas. Additionally, Israeli settlers frequently launched military attacks on civilian populations in the Gaza Strip because the settlers were armed, typically armed in very significant ways, and engaged in a lot of brutalities against the Palestinian civil population. We had the opportunity to go into one of the largest settlement blocks, if not the largest settlement block, former settlement block, in the Gaza Strip, and this was Gush Katif. The settlement in Gush Katif was truly among the most amazing things for myself as a Palestinian to go see. It was, it occupies some of the most fertile, most strategic, and most complete with natural resources of any of the areas in the Gaza Strip. Probably contained five or six water aquifers, the largest aquifers in the Gaza Strip. Strategically, it occupied an area that had among the most fertile land in the Gaza Strip. And geographically, it was placed strategically in such a way that it was a very, altitude-wise, was very high, so you got a complete view of a large swath of land, and truly remarkable when you actually go in there. You see the apartheid-like system that has existed. The Israeli settlers had their own roads, and that's one of the first things that many of us going there commented on, because frankly we're used to the roads in Gaza, which especially now during the rainy season are filled with potholes and very difficult to drive on, and many roads in the Gaza Strip, for Palestinians at least, aren't even paved. So the first thing you notice in going into these settlements are the beautifully paved, clean, slick, unpockmarked roads of the settlements, so that one group of people, formerly the illegal Israeli settlers, drove on Jewish-only roads that were very well maintained, while Palestinians had their own roads. The Gush Katif settlement divided the Gaza Strip into north and south, and so Palestinians who wanted to go from the north into the south frequently stopped for hours and hours and hours. I myself was stopped the last time I was in Gaza for some 6-7 hours at the Abu Hole checkpoint, and so a few settlers could go by. The apartheid-like system that exists in Gaza could no more be evident than looking at these abandoned settlements. So notwithstanding the beautifully paved roads, the next thing that strikes a Palestinian or any international for that matter going into these settlements that have been left by these illegal settlers is the fact that every single aspect of the settlement, the homes, the infrastructure, the buildings, everything have been completely destroyed and burned down. I happen to be taking this view of the settlements with some other internationals, and the thing that they said categorically, time after time again, why would they destroy everything? This is completely freaky. This is bizarre. Everything has been completely destroyed and torched. We saw literally hundreds of homes bulldozed and torn down. We saw every single thing that could be burned down. And in fact, in one place in the settlements, they even burned down the trees. It's as if the Israelis did not want to leave anything, any semblance of humanity, like a tree left standing. So trees were burned, olive groves were uprooted, greenhouses were totally destroyed. Even in fact, greenhouses were, many of them were supposed to be left intact as an agreement between the World Bank and some other people who paid the Israeli settlers to keep them there. Well, what we observed is that most, if not all, of the greenhouses were in fact, if not destroyed, mangled up pretty significantly. So a large effort that is going on right now for the settlements is having Palestinian workers rebuild the greenhouses so that they may start growing things. The other thing that one realizes in seeing these settlements is that these were totally enclosed, not self-sustaining because they were not, but isolated enclaves, if not cities, in the middle of large Palestinian populations. In the Gush Katif area, there was a hospital, again, completely burned down and stripped of anything that would give it any hospital identity. Shopping centers at the level of a small strip mall, again, completely destroyed. Schools, administrative buildings. There is even a branch of Hebrew University in Gush Katif, which was totally destroyed. It was massive. It was significant. It was a level of apartheid and separation and the depth of the inhumanity of placing illegal settlements on stolen Palestinian land. You can never imagine the ugliness of these things until you actually see what was there and the manner in which the illegal Israeli settlers left. It sent chills up the spines of all of us who were able to get this tour. Of course, it's important to mention that the United States provided subsidies to pay these illegal settlers $250,000 each, plus other bonuses to get them to leave land that was stolen already. Ironically, there's no talk whatsoever about compensating Palestinians whose land was taken away illegally over 40 years ago and used illegally by the settlers. There's no talk about that, but there's plenty of talk about compensating these settlers for occupying land illegally. We had a chance to meet and talk with many Palestinian farmers because the main thing right now that's going on is, as Palestinians, as we begin to think about what we're going to do with our land again, one thing that is happening is that Palestinian farmers are starting to rebuild some of the greenhouses, and already, even though it's only been, a month and a half or so, we already saw the planting of tomatoes and strawberries occurring. It was really beautiful and amazing to see Palestinian farmers putting their hands in the soil, reconnecting to their own land, and doing something that Palestinians have been doing for hundreds and thousands of years, living with dignity off their land as farmers. And it's clear that the next kind of cycle of what's going to happen in this reclaimed land is that it's going to, because it's very fertile, is going to serve the greater population of Palestinians in Gaza with with farming activities and food and things like that. So it was truly remarkable to see this. The big message, and in talking with Palestinians from A to Z about what significance this has, because it's clear that the occupation remains, but there are no illegal settlers in Gaza. What remains, however, is the idea that, well, if they can leave these settlements which have been occupied illegally in Gaza, they can do the same in the West Bank. So there is a sense that it's possible, and that the next move, in terms of a political analysis of what this means for Palestinians, is that we will insist, and there's no negotiation about this, that settlers must leave all land taken illegally. And this is true under international law and UN conventions.